Hey guys, welcome to the Conventional Sniper Podcast. I'm your spotter, Justin Coletti. Welcome to another episode. Appreciate you guys tuning in again. Had a ton of feedback from the last couple of episodes. Want to thank my buddy Dana, and Rob, and everyone else who kind of stuck their neck out. And I know it's getting kind of annoying me asking for feedback, but I can only get better if you guys pitch in. So if let's just go ahead. You know what? Let's just get the S2 brief out of the way. So if you want to pitch in the podcast and you have some feedback, you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is the Conventional Sniper Podcast. Just want to hit me up with some messages, want to pitch a topic, or you just have some questions, send me a message on there. I don't have an email address for this podcast. I probably won't, just because it's too much stuff to manage. So anyway, so we've got a sponsor on here a little bit. In transparency again, I reached out to Osak Apparel and spoke to those guys a couple podcasts ago about seeing what we can do to get you guys some discounts. So if you use the code on checkout, The Sniper Podcast, again, one word, The Sniper Podcast, you'll be able to get 10% off. So make sure you check those guys out again. I messaged them in the other podcast before. I wear a bunch of their shirts and hats, and I just like their stuff. So I reached out to them and asked. So if you guys want to use them, get some cash off and help them out and help me out and that sort of stuff, go ahead and check their website out. So their website is osak-apparel.com. So first off, before we kind of dig into things, I just want to quickly mention the shootings in Texas and Ohio. And just want to put out that it's tragic. Everyone agrees. And, you know, prayers and thoughts can only go so far. But my thoughts and prayers are with everyone that was affected by it, as well as, you know, just healing. And in the last podcast when I was in Colorado, I did another podcast through the Sniper Scope with my buddy Rob. And I held on to it for a little bit after I heard about the situations out there, and ultimately decided to delete that podcast. I just felt it wasn't appropriate to be discussing moral dilemmas of engagements of real-life snipers right after that. So that mini-series is kind of put on hold for a little bit, and we'll see how things go. But so the past 2 or 3 weeks, just to kind of recap some stuff, I shot the New England Precision Rifle Match in Littleton, or I guess it's technically Dalton, New Hampshire. Alex and his crew from Ridgeline Shooting, they put on a fantastic match. We're just going to go over that here a little bit, and then we'll transition to some other stuff. But there's one big thing that you need to keep in mind when you begin to shoot precision rifle matches, or even if you're just hunting, you know, in a situation where there's extreme angles. So the New England PRS match, there was definitely some extreme angles, 45, 30, 20 degree angles. In these type of matches, and I guess in all matches, you need to go into these matches having some expectation management. And I think that's the big key to progressing through the day, as you lose sight of what your eventual goals were. Because there's going to be some stages that you get defeated on. You're going to get crushed. It's going to crush your soul a little bit. But if you go into it with the goal of no zeros on any stages, at least one hit on target through all the stages, you'll be able to improve and keep the mental focus in the game. And that's a huge portion of long-distance shooting, and I can guarantee you that every sniper in the world will tell you that expectation management is key, because you're going to miss shots. It's okay to miss shots, and that's why you have follow-up shots. So that's a huge, huge thing to keep in mind, is expectation management. Now, during these matches, or this match in particular, I got defeated quite a bit. One thing that I will say is you need to really think about your gear before you go on this. So I had an issue with a tripod. The tripod that I have, I didn't have a ball head, and I was kind of searching for one and seeing if I could borrow someone's ball head, and I wasn't coming up with anything. So I went to the match with a hog saddle and a tripod, a direct attachment. And when I was shooting these high angles, I wasn't able to just transition the gun from a low angle to a high angle. I had to physically move the entire tripod leg, and that took up huge amounts of time. And I couldn't quite get the leg to lock in where I wanted it, and I couldn't load the gun and the bipods or the tripod, excuse me. And it was just difficult. So make sure you check your gear before you go to these matches. You know, things like having a QB wrist watch, where you can keep a little note card on your wrist like you're a quarterback, and you can write down all your data. Luckily, I had one this match. Excuse me, I had one this match, and it helped quite a bit, being able to pre-set up my data before the match, so I wasn't trying to memorize what numbers I had in my head to dial my optic. So That's a huge thing. Get a good pack too. Having a good nice backpack to carry your gear from stage to stage is really helpful. With the New England match being on a mountain, shooting from one ridge line to the next, you're going to have to move up and down the mountain quite a bit. And having a backpack that can help carry and distribute that weight as you're moving about is extremely key. That ultimately, keeps you from getting fatigued. If you have a good backpack with good gear, if you're shooting like the Mammoth Sniper Competition or the Sniper's Hide Cup, and you're moving about quite a bit over a couple of miles, getting fatigued is something that you need to pay attention to. And another thing is food. You need to make sure you eat some stuff while you're shooting. Every sniper in the world loves to eat food. I don't know of a guy that doesn't. So bring some beef jerky, bring some power bars, and consume a lot of water. And that's a huge thing is caffeine. Although I did do some studies when I was at the Natick Labs discussing caffeine as it relates to performance. And I was hooked up to this electrode thing on my head, and they were seeing what I was looking like. My brain was switched on with caffeine versus when it wasn't. But one thing that, and well, ca ca caffeine is a temporary stimulant. And you have to keep in mind that after that temporary stimulant, you will crash further and you become more fatigued than the baseline of which you were before you drank the caffeine. So while you may have a spike, eventually that caffeine will bring you down below what you were before. So think of yourself as like cruising at 50. You consume some caffeine, you bump up to 100, and then after you go down to 30 or 20. That's just going to fatigue you. And if you do that at the beginning of a match, it's going to hurt quite a bit. So just make sure you're cognizant of drinking water. You definitely don't want to get fatigued. That fatigue is important, especially for your eyes. We know that having both eyes open when you engage is critical. It allows the eyes to send and receive data more efficiently between the brain and allows you to coordinate stuff just more efficiently. It's like that eye-hand coordination piece. If your eyes are fatigued and it's hard for you to keep your eyes open, you will eventually develop like a change blindness. You will lose the reticle inside the optic because you're trying to focus so hard that you actually can't see the reticle. It'll be actually moving around inside the scope, even though you're not causing the movement in the gun. It's like physically, you're not physically moving it with your body, but it's the fact that your eyes are strained and it will begin to move around. So again, make sure you drink water a ton and gets and another thing about this too is you need to get some good sleep. Make sure you get some good sleep before the match. You don't show up with 3 to 5 hours of sleep. Make sure you're pushing it to like 8 to 10 hours of sleep. So I would say having good sleep, good nutrition, and hydration should be considered a gear piece. It should be on your checklist, whether you're going hunting, shooting a precision rifle match, or you're a sniper that's about to go on a mission. Sleep, hydration, food, those are gear pieces. I would consider them part of my gear checklist. Did I meet the gear requirement for sleep? Did I meet the gear requirement for nutrition? Did I meet the gear requirement for water throughout it? So just keep in mind that that's all important. Also, the wind for this match, it was crazy. We had winds gusting up to 17 miles an hour through valleys. There was multiple crosswinds and different wind gradients and tornadoes, basically like big volumes of tornado throughout the match. I would say this is probably one of the harder matches I've ever shot where wind was just so unpredictable, moving fast and slow. There was one stage where we were shooting out to 1,000. The guy before me was holding 2 mils with a 6.5 Creedmoor. I get up there and was and I hit the target with 1 mil. It was impressive the differences between mils as the wind was picking up or dropping. And it was quite interesting to shoot and watch, and I learned a ton. So, the wind was just, it was insane. So, and I know there's some guy out in the Midwest right now, it's like, you've never shot wind in 50 mile an hour, or you've never shot in 50 mile an hour wind. I have. In Kansas, that wind is 40, 50 miles an hour, but it's consistent from one direction across the plains. It's not inside of a ravine with 4 or 5 wind gradients, with 3 different speed gradients across, 200 feet in the air. So, because you're shooting from mountaintop to mountaintop, essentially. So I have shot in that wind, but I haven't shot in that many crazy changing wind zones. So that was one thing. How to train for that? You just got to get in the mountains. I don't really know what else to tell you. That's a hard pill to swallow for training because you can't really get it too often. So After that, August 2nd and 3rd, I went out to Colorado for the gathering, which you guys heard the podcast, episode 4. I was out there for that. I have to give it to Colorado. I haven't been out there before, but it's a beautiful city. I definitely saw a lot of interesting people, and, dare I say, creatures. So it was definitely for sure interesting. But anyway, so I just obviously want to say thank you to those guys out there, Frank Galley, the Army Sniper Association, the Marine Corps Scout Sniper Association. It was a blast to be out there with those guys. When I was out there, it was very professional, and I really couldn't tell the difference between Army snipers and Marine Corps snipers. Just a bunch of guys getting together, having a good time, celebrating the craft. I think we had about 60 or so guys. So the first day was just hanging out at the bar and having a good time. And the time at that bar was actually really fun. It was really informal, pretty casual. We just hung out, we got to know each other, checked in, looked at the events for the next day. So it was quite fun. Anyway, moving on from that, the next day on Saturday morning, we were all out at the range. Some of us showed up a little late, probably had a little too much to drink the night before, but guys showed up kind of throughout the day at the range. And obviously, I want to thank Frank Galley for letting us use his range out there. He's a beautiful range, easily could push out to, a mile or so. And his range is basically like a little shallow bowl, and he has targets all the way out. I think, if I recall correctly, I think he's out to anywhere from 1,200 to 1,400 yards or meters. And then you can back up and push well past 2,000. The wind out there was pretty good, and it was kind of rolling off the backside of the range and really changing the wind calls out at 1,200 or so. Which luckily, when I had shot the New England match, I had kind of picked up on some experiences from that and was able to translate it when just shooting on the range and having a good time and being able to walk myself into a target after a couple of rounds. So it was just a good time. Moving forward, I just look forward to continuing to stay in contact with a lot of these guys. I think we had 60 or so guys there. Hopefully it'll progress over the next couple of years and really get big enough. So if you're a sniper that just graduated sniper school, and I know at the end of the class they'll announce the top shot, and I think they still do top team, but if not, they'll at least give the top shot, and that top shot gets a lifetime membership to the Army Sniper Association. I believe they receive a coin and a plaque. I guess you could say it's kind of like Top Gun, where you get the plaque and there's no alternate plaque for second place. But if you get a membership to lifetime membership to the Army Sniper Association, make sure you come to these meetings, and we have them. The Army Sniper Association puts on the International Sniper Competition every year, which recently it's been moved from October of 2019 to April of 2020. So make sure you mark on your calendars in April 2020 will be the International Sniper Competition. I spoke with Frank Galley when we were out there, and we're going to come up with some stuff hopefully to be able to broadcast the international competition live. I've already spoken to some of the guys down at the schoolhouse there, and we'll see what we can do about it, which will work out really well because a lot of these guys that do shoot it, there are some special forces guys that are there that can't have their face put out. So doing a live podcast will really help because we can, identify shooter one and shooter two, tell us about the stage. And you'll be able to get the feedback from these guys right as they come off the range. And we'll really be able to ESPN this, so to speak. So hopefully moving forward, we'll be able to do all that. So again, thanks to everyone that came to that gathering. It was a really fun time, and I appreciate everything you did. So also, I guess, well, one more thing. I did win a hog saddle. So thank you to Shadow Tech if they donated that, or whoever did donate it. Thank you very much. I have my new hog saddle. I love it. I did actually have a second one. That second one I actually ended up giving to a buddy of mine who is a little new to the sport and kind of coming into things and needed some extra equipment. So I spread around the love for the hog saddle, and so there's good hog saddles out there. So make sure you check out their website. I believe it's shadowtech.com. If not, or maybe hogsaddle.com. If you just type in a hog saddle, hogsaddle.com, in Google, you should be able to pull it up. There's the pig saddle, which is a little less expensive than the hog saddle, but hog saddle serves a very good purpose. It's great for your tripods, great for, it's basically a clamp. It clamps in the gun to your tripod and allows you to be more stable when shooting. So, all right, so this past weekend, which is the 10th, on Saturday, August 10th, I participated in a local PRS league that's been spun up here by a gentleman by the name of Alex Roy and some others. It's called the Minuteman Precision Rifle League. These type of leagues are actually really important for guys and gals and people to be involved with, primarily because it's local, which means that it doesn't cost as much as the Precision Rifle League or the National Rifle League. The cost for this type of match for me was about $40. And one, other than the cost and it being local to me, instead of having to travel the country, because the PRS matches can get really expensive, especially being in the Northeast, I got to pay for a plane ticket, I got to pay for a hotel, I got to pay for a rental car. You know, let's say I got to fly to California, well, I don't want to go to California, but let's say Wyoming. From New England, if I go out of New Hampshire and fly out of Manchester, it's going to be $600, $700, $800. If I go to Boston, it's going to be about the same. And I'm going to get harassed in Boston about bringing guns and ammo to the airport. So having a local match saves me at least $1,000 every time I fly. Probably even more than that, obviously, because, you know, the matches themselves from the Precision Rifle Series are $275 or $250 a match. So already I've saved myself almost $1,300 just between flights and the match itself. So I know the Minuteman Precision Rifle League, they're doing a really good job of keeping things cheap, still getting the same experiences as a PRS match. They allow you to practice, and the round count is really low. This match, I only fired 100 rounds. Where versus if I go to the Precision Rifle Series, I'm going to fire double that. I'm going to fire close to 300. And the Minuteman League stuff, it's only a one-day match versus a two-day match. Most matches in the Precision Rifle Series are two-day matches. And we had about 10 stages, I believe. So it's a half-day match at the pro level, so to speak. And for an amateur level, it's perfect because you're going to get the same type of stages that you're going to see in the Precision Rifle League, but local. So I believe their website is MinutemanPRL.org. If not, you can just Google it. Google knows all, and you should be able to find it on there. And I forget what the membership costs are, but each match is $40. So you can do that. You can get into it and shoot for half the cost and not have to travel around in New England. If you're in another part of the country, I'm sure there is always another local league or local range that has some stuff. I know most of the PRS matches and the NRL matches are kind of in the Midwest. And I'm about to say Midwest, and someone's going to lose their marbles somewhere. But to me, the Midwest is like Kansas, Arkansas, Texas. Everything from that line, west. It's in the mid of the country, moving west, the mid and west. So someone's going to lose their marbles. If you want to send me a message like I mentioned earlier, go ahead, light me up. I'll take the licking and chewing. You know, as they would say in Inglourious Bastards, I've been chewed out before, so go ahead, chew me out. But anyways, guys, I appreciate all your time. Hopefully there's someone out there that hears these podcasts and understand that this is not a sport where you can just pick up a gun, point and shoot, and make it fast. This takes time, it takes dedication, it takes patience. And most of all, it takes humility. You have to be humble that you are not the best shooter in the world. Even the best shooters in this sport get humbled by guys that are far worse off than them. I've seen pros step up to the line in a PRS match, have the best guns gear, and miss every single target. Yet the new kid who's running a Ruger precision rifle that can barely afford a scope, his buddy lent him half the gear he's got, come up, clean the stage. This sport is about humility and camaraderie. It's not about showing who has the greatest gear, who's better than the other person. The only person that you're competing against when you're up on the line in a sport type match, it's yourself. You can be, like I said, man, you can be Chris Kyle. You can get smoked by the new guy, the junior guy. And this is the only sport that I know of in the competitive shooting sports that you are only competing against yourself. If I go up and shoot IDPA, USPSA, I'm not competing against myself. I can sit at my house and do dry fires all day long. But weather does not affect how I shoot. Precision rifle does. The wind can be at 15 miles an hour when I shoot from right to left. Next guy comes up, zero wind. That's just the luck of the draw. That's how the sport works. You just have to know that your skill level really determines how well you do. Which can be said about every sport, but you will never have the same shooting conditions as the guy before you, and the guy after you will probably not have the same shooting conditions as you. So when you shoot, that's your wind condition. That's your weather condition. No one else gets that. And even then, it's changing and evolving as you shoot. So you really have to be cognizant, and you really have to think about what you're doing. You have to build a good base underneath you. But as you're doing those things, when you're going to these matches, I haven't met a single person that hasn't reached their hand out and let me try some gear or shoot their rifle for a round or two to see what I like and what I don't like. It's the most friendly sport I've ever been part of. And that's part of the reason why I do these podcasts, is because the sniper community has helped foster all of this. And without the sniper community, without the precision rifle community, without the hunting community, to an extent, I know there's some FUDs out there, I've appreciated all of your help, your dedication, your patience. I've learned a lot. Guys that I've shot with just these past 3 weeks have helped me to no extent, and I feel more confident going forward into the rest of the season until wintertime. Unfortunately, you know, at this point, I won't be able to continue with the precision rifle series. It's just too costly for me to travel around. I prefer to just stay local. So that's what I'm going to do for the rest of the season. But again, thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate it. As always, from the tall grass, one shot, one kill. Thanks.